It's time for Done Being Single with your hosts, Treva and Robbie Scharf. If you're dating the same type over and over again, making the same mistakes and not finding love, then you're not done being single. What you need is some tough love dating intervention, Treva and Robbie style. Whether you're new to dating or have been dating forever, we've got you covered. Now, here are your hosts, Treva and Robbie Scharf.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I love applause. It's my favorite part of the show. Yeah. Yes.
There's some of that going on here. But
yes.
What about?
And yes.
Yeah, there's like going to be that. And
that's right. Exactly. So if they're cuckoo, okay, run for the hills.
Cuckoo?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so... You get where we're going here, people. This episode.
This is the cuckoo episode.
It's the cuckoo episode, specifically crazy chicks and bad boys. Wow. Are you addicted to chaos?
This is a thing.
It's a little bit of a thing. I see it a lot. And I'm going to be really honest. I'm not a crazy chick, but I was definitely attracted to bad boys. At one point. So there's a little bit of me in this.
What do you consider?
There's a little bit about me in all of these episodes, if you haven't noticed.
It's all about you.
It kind of ends up being.
Who doesn't know that?
Yes.
All right. So my first question is, what do you consider to be a bad boy?
Okay. I think a bad boy, when I think of a bad boy, I think of a player.
A player, right.
A player and worse. So it kind of starts with player at the very, you know, the most benign version of it. And then it gets worse from there.
Okay. How about a crazy chick?
Well, let's stick with bad boys for a second. Okay. So player, you know, and then worse, and then abusive, manipulative, it's there's all kinds of levels of it, and bad is could be, you know, a motorcycle tattoo guy who's just like, you know, kind of rough around the edges, or it could be someone that is actually not, you know, a little pathology. I think the same for crazy chicks.
Is there a gangsta level there?
There's a little bit of gangsta.
Okay.
In a bad boy.
Yeah.
And I get why women are attracted to them, but the women,
Is there also, okay, let's keep digging. Is there also like a Neanderthal quality where, you know, a guy wants to, you know, a hair tugging, he's going to pull the woman by the hair and, you know, kind of be a little chauvinistic. Is that also...
I think there are some women that don't like to be treated very well.
Or maybe they do, and that's why they are attracted to bad boys.
Well, what are we talking about? Like sexually aggressive?
It's
or
your show. You can...
Okay, well, we're going to get into bed soon, but we're not getting into bed yet. So we're just sort of defining what is a bad boy and a crazy chick.
Okay.
Okay, so I can tell you what my experience with bad boys are. And I can tell you why I think, and I had maybe one sort of sick relationship with a guy that I would consider a bad boy. And I know why I did. And I know why I was attracted to it. Because I was at a certain place in my life that I wasn't feeling very good about myself. And I was vulnerable and got into something with someone that I knew was wrong. And it was unhealthy and it was really toxic. Luckily, I got a hold of my senses and got out. But it was rough, and it didn't make me feel very good. And I think that's also a part of their mental manipulation, is that they know they are not making you feel very good, and there's something enjoyable in that. It's really a sick dynamic. I mean, I'm not a doctor, although I do play one on the radio. Huh. But that's my take on it.
How long did it take you to realize that this was a bad boy and you needed to get out of it?
Oh, probably 3 months in. I saw signs. I saw the red flags.
But did you know it immediately, but that was not a turnoff?
You know, it should have turned me off. But what happened, ended up happening, was it became a challenge for me. So I took it on, thinking, I'm going to change this guy. And I'm going to heal him. And I'm going to fix him. And you know what? It was not my job to do. And so that's my experience. And I can go on and on and on. But I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to let you talk.
Okay.
So tell me about your experiences with crazy chicks.
Well, I have dated a couple of women in the past that I would consider to be crazy in some levels. And there's many different things that would constitute crazy in my book. And some of them have to do with just nutsy cuckoo women that act you just don't know how they are going to act or react. There are some that are have jealous streaks. I've dated some women that were so incredibly jealous that it made it impossible to carry on normal conversations without that coming up as an issue. There's been some stalking and just nutty behavior, which makes you really question that quickly. And luckily for me, I was able to extricate myself from it pretty soon after realizing it. But you kind of go through it. And then there's, you know, actresses, which an associate of mine used to have a joke about if you ever dated an actress, have a great 2 weeks, but then make sure that you do what you can to get out of it first, because they will go nuts on you. Now, is that generalizing? Absolutely. But then again, you know, there's exceptions, but yeah.
Yeah, and we know people that are attracted to that element.
Yes, we do.
That crazy, unstable,
so
nutty, neurotic.
It could be drama.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been reading up about it and preparing for this show, and there is a connotation that crazy chicks equate to being incredible in bed.
Well, now we're talking.
Well, this is, you know.
So now, okay, and we're going to get into bed now.
So,
that's not me, everybody.
No, that's
just
not.
FYI. I don't heavy breathe like that.
No.
Okay.
No, you don't.
I'm very quiet.
Except when you're not.
Okay. The walls are thin here. Okay, so that.
All right.
That's
so
me in bed.
That is more like it.
Okay, so I highly recommend this article in Medium. If you guys don't subscribe to Medium Digest, you should. It is a just chock full of fantastic articles and blogs about everything. Relationships, dating, personal growth, everything. Anyway, I read an article called Why Do Men Think Crazy Women Are Better in Bed by Tracy Moore. And she starts off by asking, or saying, there has to be some reason guys put up with the death threats and the constant fits of rage. And that reason is the outstanding, mind-blowing, spectacular sex. While normal girls are sexually restricted by things like morality, sanity, and a sense of right and wrong, crazy chicks have no such restrictions. Okay? What would you say to that?
I would say that is probably very true. But that is a terrible reason to be involved with somebody, because the sex is wild. Because that you're not always having sex. That may be, you know, an hour outside of the day, hour out of your day, and then you've got 23 hours to spend with a crazy chick who is still crazy outside the bedroom.
Yes. So the article goes on to say the hottest, craziest
or
ones
the dining room.
The hottest, craziest ones in bed were out of their minds in life, and that's their hook. If you're dating a crazy woman and she's really great in bed, realize eventually that the sex is going to wear off, and what's going to be left is literally a woman you'll have to medicate and take care of.
Which can be fun for a few hours, but that's not going to last. And
okay, and I mean, I'll be honest here, since, you know, we're amongst friends and mm-hmm. thousands of listeners. The crazy guy, that the bad boy that I dated. Yeah, there was some edge, you know, to the sex. It was edgier. And I think because he wasn't safe. He was not a stable, safe person, which made the sex unstable and not safe, which I guess there is an element of excitement to that. You know, it's again, I'm not a shrink, but if you're nuts outside the sack.
Did you just say nuts outside the sack?
Yeah, I didn't mean
you
to say.
You should go see a doctor. If anybody's
mean,
nuts are outside your sack.
If your nuts are outside your sack. something tells me you're going to be nuts inside the sack too.
Right.
Okay. But, you know, now maybe I'm older, wiser, menopausal. Mm-hmm. You know, sex does become something else as you get older. And, you know, it becomes a beautiful, it should be a beautiful, bonding, stable thing. I mean, if there's nothing keeping you from having wild, hot, crazy sex, but I just wouldn't want to carry that behavior outside the bedroom.
Oh!
Right?
Yeah, I agree. It should be a beautiful, loving thing, but you have to have the ability to also be wild with your... We can be bad with each other and act like we're your crazy chick, which sometimes you can be, and I can be a bad boy sometimes, but
well, you know,
acting like that one. But it's...
I'm Jewish. I'm neurotic. I mean, by virtue of that, I'm already crazy. Okay. Yeah. You know, if you want to... Listen, I'm very hypochondriacal. That could be considered sexy.
Yes.
Okay, I'm lovably cuckoo. How's
Let me
that?
Know when that happens. Yes.
You know,
yes,
it's so funny. I really am a hypochondriac, and I just got an Instagram request from Mickey Fine Pharmacy.
You know that.
And
when
I
you
said
get...
to Robbie, you know you're a hypochondriac when your pharmacy follows you on Instagram.
Well, you are a VIP to them, so that's very important.
I'm a VIP, but I'm not a frequent flyer, okay?
Okay.
Big difference.
We have to go to a break, so who's coming on?
We are bringing on, he's an expert at all this stuff, Dr. Dale Archer. He knows all about Cuckooville, and he's going to break it down for all of you guys, and hopefully you're going to get some help out there. Okay, if you're struggling, if you're suffering, relief is on its way.
If you're dating a crazy chick or a bad boy.
Or if you're in the clutches of a bad boy and you can't get out.
And also, if you are one of those two categories but don't realize it, this is going to be important. Because sometimes, do you think crazy chicks know they're crazy or bad boys know they're bad?
That's a great question.
I think bad boys know they're bad more than crazy chicks know they're crazy. But maybe Dr. Archer can talk to that. So we'll be right back after a short break with Dr. Dale Archer.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media. Can you keep up?
You need to live up to your full potential. You've heard that for years, but now there's a channel to help you get there. Introducing the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Our listeners have told us that they want to be motivated, hear about success stories, and positive encouragement around the clock. And we've responded to you. The Voice America Empowerment Channel is the home of the world's top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success experts. Listen to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's here at voiceamericaempowerment.com.
You're listening to Done Being Single with dating interventionists, Treva and Robbie Sharp. If you've got a question, a dilemma, or a dating nightmare you want to share, call us today at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. You can also reach us by email, Treva and Robbie at DoneBeingSingle.com. Now, back to Done Being Single with dating badasses, Treva and Robbie Sharp.
Okay, all right. That's what we're talking drama here, people. It's drama. It's chaos. It's nuttiness. Wow. It's all of that. And we are bringing on. We're bringing on Dr. Dale Archer, MD, who is a board-certified psychiatrist, distinguished fellow of the American Psychiatric Association, and founder CEO of the Institute for Neuropsychiatry in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Welcome, Dr. Archer.
Yes, welcome.
Great to be here.
So I found Dr. Archer while doing deep research, a deep dive into this. He wrote a fantastic article. I was researching crazy people. I Googled crazy people, and I came across a fantastic article in Psychology Today about love bombing, which I loved because I'd never heard that term. And it says so much about craziness and how it all kind of gets started and how it can be a huge red flag. So, Dr. Archer, let's talk about love. Let's talk about everything, but let's talk about love bombing because I see a lot of that happening. Tell us what it is and how it works.
Yes, so certainly love bombing would be an example of a quote-unquote crazy individual. And just in a nutshell, love bombing is when an individual will shower you with an overwhelming amount of affection on and on and on, from multiple calls a day, flowers every day, doing special things for you, which on the surface sounds fantastic. I mean, what could be better? It's like, boy, they're really into me. This is so great. But then a pattern starts to develop where if at some point they want you to do something and you can't do it, then all of a sudden everything stops and they're using the bombing with love in order to manipulate and get what they want, which is basically you 100% take you away from family, friends, anyone else in your life and have you be all theirs. So it really has a tremendous pathological component to it. But it's not really well known and it's not talked about. And most people initially, when you get into a relationship with a love bomber, you think it's the best relationship you've ever had. And it's only as you get further into it that you start to see that there's some problems and there's some issues. But you couple that with the fact that, wow, it's so great when it's on. Am I willing to put up with these few little problems in order to keep the greatness of being showered with this affection? Unfortunately, as time goes on, the love bomber will become more and more demanding. They will turn on a dime and shut everything down. They will disappear from your life for weeks if you do something that they perceive as slighting them. Mm-hmm. So it is one of the most pathological of all types of relationships, and it's also one of the hardest to get out of. The good news is that the average person, if they go through it once, then they'll never go through it again because they learn very quickly the warning signs and what to look for. And that would qualify as a quote unquote bad boy, bad girl.
Actually, I was just thinking that as you said, they go through it once and never go through it again. It may be an impossible or very difficult thing to break out of that one time relationship. You may keep falling back into that trap of going back to that person. You don't know how to break away from them.
No, yeah, it's almost like a Pavlovian dog response where you get like rewarded and gifts and flowers and gifts and rewarded if you perpetuate a certain behavior, and then when it's taken away from you, that's when the trouble begins.
Well, it's that, but it's also, for the love bomber, it's about power and control. And isolation is a big part of their strategy, because we all can think of people in our life who have been in a bad relationship, and you sit there and you tell them all the reasons why they should not be in it, and they'll say, yes, 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 you're right, you're right, you're right. This time it's really over for good, and the next thing you know, they're right back to them. So the love bomber isolates family, friends, anyone who has any significance in your life has to be pushed away in order for them to have complete and ultimate power and control over their target. So as these other people are pushed away, of course, the support system around the individual completely crumbles, and they're no longer able to seek outside advice. And so it becomes you against the world, really. And because the love bomber will belittle you, oh, you like your friend more than you like me, this relationship is never going to work, you can't see her anymore. And I'm using the he for the love bomber because the majority of them are men. So it becomes very, very difficult to break away. It's similar in a lot of ways, even though it typically doesn't have the physical abuse component, but it's similar to a physically abusive relationship where the individual keeps going back and keeps going back, and you're going, well, why are you doing that? I mean, you see how devastating that is to your life. But they also, the physical abuser also uses the isolation tactic as well to get their target without any support.
So, Dr. Archer, have you encountered commonalities from patients that have been in relationships with a love bomber in which you may be able to share so they will recognize it if something like that is happening? Is there a roadmap of sorts that they could they come up against and they can say, oh, this is what's happening with me? And
well, yeah, the answer is yes. I've had multiple patients who have been through it. And, you know, I think that the interesting part about it is that the roadmap is very, very similar, almost identical in terms of the love bomber strategy and the individuals that they target. So, often the targets are vulnerable in some way or another. A common target would be someone coming out of a long-term relationship, perhaps recently divorced, or going through a family crisis, going through a problem with work, perhaps they got fired from work. So they're vulnerable to start with. So that's, and the love bomber is an expert in being able to suss that out and be able to determine whether a target is going to be susceptible, because obviously everyone would not be susceptible to that. So that's number one, is the target. And there's a vulnerability in the target.
Right.
Then the love bomber's actions are, again, I mean, it's just textbook, and you see it the same over and over and over, where, you know, there was this one divorced woman that I was treating who was older and had older, not like in her early 40s, certainly not old compared to me. But, and she had been through a very traumatic divorce and was vulnerable. Her mother had recently died, and she met this great guy that she thought was the answer to all of her prayers. And of course, you know, that's part of the problem, is when you're vulnerable and you're drowning and it looks like there's a life ring there and you grab onto it and all of a sudden you're floating above the water and you go, ah, finally, I've made it. It's going to be okay. Yeah. I mean, thank God this guy came along and has rescued me. And right. Without realizing, of course, that that's just the beginning of an even worse disaster that they're going to be facing.
All of this dating behavior or bad dating behavior or pathology in dating seems to come from a place of having a high tolerance for drama. I mean, for every love bomber, there's a woman who loves them. You know, for every erratic, crazy chick, there's a guy that digs them. What is the attraction ultimately to drama? Why do people, and I have my own thoughts on it, but I need to ask you because we see a lot of it and it's so compelling and it's so addicting and it's so sexy and attractive. And I know that it makes people feel alive somewhere. It's like gives them a sense of just sort of excitement and being on the edge. And I want to know, where does that come from?
So first of all, I think it's important to point out that most of us, most people in life, have had either a crazy chick or a bad boy as a relationship at some point as in their dating life. So that's more common than not. However, most of us also learn that, wow, even though the excitement and the drama and the sex and the highs were all great, it's not worth the price of the chaos that goes along with it. And so we learn from that, and then we move on. So, and I think that's part of growing up. It's learning what successful dating is all about and what you want in a partner and what to look for and what the red flags are. And so that in and of itself, that one or maybe two episodes of being with a crazy chick or a bad boy is not pathologic at all. It's the ones who repeat it over and over and over where you run into an issue. And these are typically people that have very low self-esteem would be the one common denominator that I would put that runs through all of these individuals who are attracted to this chaos and drama. And I would couple that with some type of tumultuous childhood. Because when we're growing up, the way we are raised and what we see as children, we define as normal. That becomes normal life. And if that's a very chaotic upbringing that we've had, then when we get older, we seek what we perceive as the way the world is supposed to work. And oftentimes that would be a very unstable individual that would go along with that. And of course, you couple that with the low self-esteem where we think we don't deserve any better. This is what we deserve. We're getting what we deserve in life as a partner. Then we end up embracing that and saying, well, okay, well, this is normal for me. This is what I deserve. I'm not going to do any better, so this is what I'm going to go for.
Okay, doctor, we have to go to a break right now, but we're going to come back and pick up the other side of this, which would be crazy chicks, I think, and talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
So we'll be right back with Dr. Dale Archer. Okay.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media. Can you keep up? What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
And now back to Done Being Single with married couple and dating ass kickers, Treva and Robbie Scharf.
Okay, we are back with Dr. Dale Archer.
Yes.
And
I want to ask if this is another little piece of this. Want to hook your nipples up to an electric generator? Get a crazy lady on the job. Want to try a threesome? Get yourself a mentally unstable nut. Want round-the-clock hand jobs from a woman dressed in a leather catsuit? Walk right over to the local mental health clinic and ask for the craziest cuckoo clock in the room.
You mean like this?
Yes. Okay. And we've got that local mental health person right now on the phone with us, Dr. Dale Archer. How are you?
I'm good. Back.
All right. So, oh my gosh, so much more to talk about. Crazy chicks. Let's go to that.
Yes, let's talk about crazy chicks.
Okay, so, I just have to ask about being, because you said something about drama and childhood, which is, I get that. And I want to know how, if you were raised in a chaotic home, how do you break the pattern? How do you not find that sexy anymore? I mean, what's maybe might feel familiar, a familiar kind of dynamic with a woman or a man, how does that familiarity go from attractive to repellent?
Well, you know, there's so much that goes into it. So you start off with the tumultuous childhood, for whatever reason that may be, alcoholic parent, abusive parent. And as I said, that kind of sets your standard, your thermostat for what becomes normal later in life. However, there are a lot of other things that go into it. As you get older, if you happen to fall into with a more stable friend group, peer group, and you're able to bounce things back and forth with them, then you start realizing, you know what, maybe my view of the world is not the best. It's not healthy for me. It's not good. If you end up with a mentor or a teacher, so there are a lot of people that can help reset that thermostat as you go. And I will say that luckily, you know, the maintaining the love of chaos and drama is not the norm. Most of us will eventually outgrow that regardless of where we came from. I mean, obviously not always, but once you start getting older in life and wiser and you've got the scars and been through the wars and kind of understand what's good, what's bad, what works for you, what doesn't, then there is a good chance you would be able to come out. And, of course, for those who can't, therapy is always a good option. I mean, to pointing out to the fact, okay, your behavior is triggered because of how you were raised, and so therefore you see the world this way. Why don't we try looking at it in a different way? So I think it's important to emphasize that it's not a trap that keeps us there forever. Most people will get out. Whether they're the perpetrator or the victim, they will get out. But obviously, for many, it can take years and years and years, and there's a lot of pain, chaos, and drama that can go into that period of time. And often, it's the prime years of your life. You know, it's from the late teens all the way up into perhaps your 30s, 40s. So
I don't know. We know people that are still we know people in their 60s and beyond that are like professionally successful. They're otherwise smart in their professional lives. They're stable, and I don't know what this is. They just are attracted to this element of crazy. I don't get it. I don't get the disconnect.
I'll totally agree with that, but I'll say that's not the norm. That's not the way most people develop and age and grow. There are a subset who will never get over it, and it will always. And when you analyze it, it just breaks down to having very poor insight into who you are and what's good for you and what's bad for you. And insight often comes with age, as wisdom often comes with age, but not for everyone. I mean, some people choose not to look, and there are certainly some people that, I mean, I've had patients who basically go, you know, yeah, doc, yeah, we've been talking for a year now, and I just realized that, yeah, I do embrace the chaotic chicken. That's who I like, and that's who I want, and I know it's not good for me, but you know what? It feels good when it's going on, and that's how I want to live my life. We're done here.
And Dr. Archer, do you find that crazy encounters crazy and crazy attracts crazy?
It depends, because oftentimes, yeah, I mean, obviously we're using a generic crazy here. So we're using crazy not in the terms of the psychiatric diagnosis.
Right.
But in terms of being, dysfunctional and chaotic and filled with drama. So, and it depends on the individual, because sometimes they do embrace a kindred spirit, but a lot of times the fun part is getting an innocent victim and then dragging them into your web and bringing them through all of the craziness that they never believed existed in the world. So,
you know,
that's very individual specific.
I'm still thinking about Robbie's stalker, this is the first I'm hearing about it. I didn't know you had a Glenn Close. Did you have a Glenn Close?
No, it wasn't that bad. But there were elements that made me think it could get worse if I didn't kind of nip it in the bud there.
Okay. Well, I can tell you, as someone who prides herself on being sane and stable, a bad boy or an unhealthy, toxic situation will turn someone like me into a little nutty. It will. I have, you know, not gone overboard, but I can honestly say it's happened to me, and I'm like normal.
Mm-hmm. So it happened to you, but has it happened to you more than once?
Once only. Once
that's
only.
The point, though. So you basically, it happened to you. You don't know why you got involved in it, but then you're able to look at it and go, you know what? I'm going to make sure that never happens again, because that was really close to a disaster.
We have a phone caller. I think Reese is on the line. Reese, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hello, Reese.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. Thanks for calling in. What do you have on your mind?
Got some good stories?
Well, I mean, it depends on what topic you want to talk about.
You called us. We have Dr. Dale Archer on, so go ahead. Let it rip.
I think that I've been listening to the doctor, who I think is very smart. However, I think what you're not dealing with here is, I think when you're talking about this generic crazy, I think is, you know, I think it's very different if the person or the woman or the man are 30-something, 40-something, 50-something, or 60-something. I think that, you know, what is crazy is very, very determinative of your age bracket. I think it's, and I think that, you know, crazy also bleeds into baggage. Okay, and baggage can be crazy. So I'm not, and again, yeah, we're not using the, you know, crazy, not meaning the psychological terminology. But I think that it is this sort of conversation about what's a crazy chick, what's a crazy guy is very, very different depending upon the age, when the age we're talking about of the couple or the person.
Why, does the crazy change as you get older? the level of craziness?
I think the crazy takes on a very, very different aspect. I think it takes on very different experiences. I know that I went a little insane recently over a relationship. I went temporarily crazy, okay? And I think that, you know, it depends on, you know, what happened. And I think it depends on, you know, what, you know, crazy, you know, is the crazy as a result of something? Or is it just somebody who's mentally unbalanced, you know, is crazy and is dysfunctional, okay, in their daily life? And I think that the older you get, I think that, you know, you can really see this very, very quickly, and you run as fast as you can away.
Well, yes, but what about people that, you know, get suckered in, or somehow it's a hook? What does it say about them?
It says that they're emotionally unbalanced, and maybe they both deserve each other.
So, like, the rocks in her head fit the holes in the rocks.
Exactly.
What is this saying? The rocks.
Exactly. Maybe, yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's a codependency. You know, a lot. Just an experience in terms of dating, I find, and even in relationships, there is this sort of codependency. And the codependency manifest itself in many, many different ways. I mean, the doctor who's on would know much more about this from a psychological point of view, as opposed to I'm coming from an empirical, you know, experience point of view.
Okay, doctor.
Well, I think it's important that we define our terms here. So, you know, when I use the generic term crazy, that's referring to personality dysfunction. We're certainly not using that to refer to someone who's really mentally ill with bipolar, schizophrenia, or major depressive disorder. So we're taking those disorders out, because there you've got a clear-cut psychiatric diagnosis that needs to be evaluated, treated, and it's really would be not fair to say that these people are embracing this chaotic lifestyle because they choose it. It's because they've got a psychiatric diagnosis. So that being said, yeah, on the one hand, we tend to think of younger people as being wild and crazy, and then as you age and mature, that tends to we tend to grow up and become responsible. So there is a different bar that would be set as you go through life in terms of where that behavior would be characterized. But I think the important distinction here is that virtually everyone has been through a chaotic relationship. Again, I think that's an important point to make. We've all been through it once or twice. And we learn from it as we get older that that's not what we want. It's not healthy. It's not good for us. The highs don't justify the lows. The best sex in the world is, I mean, honestly, I'm about to say one red flag that is probably the biggest red flag of all is whenever a patient tells me, it's the best sex I've ever had. That is almost a guaranteed recipe that this relationship is going to crash and burn. So
okay,
you start being able to associate the overall good for you versus the temporary highs that come with these types of individuals, and then you reject that and say, it's not worth it. I need something more stable. It's not the way I want to live my life, and then you move on. So, again, there are people that never learn or choose not to learn or choose to embrace this pattern, even though they know that it's not good. They still want to do it, but that's a minority. For the majority of people that have been through something like this, again, it's a one- or two-time deal, and then they're done. However, when they're going through it, it seems like a lifetime to them.
Maybe okay, as opposed to using the word crazy, let's use the word whack jobs.
Okay. Reese, I'm curious about some of your experiences. Give us a story of a whack job that you've been out with.
Oh, I've got a number of them. One that comes to mind was on a dating site. I met this nice young lady who was a therapist for dinner, and I sit down and we're having
a nice
conversation. And I'm usually, you know, for whatever reason, taking somebody for a dinner because I'm hungry most of the time. And we sit down, and we're talking, ordering dinner, and all of a sudden, she just bursts into tears. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, what the fuck did I say or do now to make this woman start crying? She's, like, hysterically crying. And I'm going, okay, what's up? And she goes, well, I don't know. I can't do this. You know, I just met some guy the other night, and I took him, it was the first date. I took him back to my house, and before I know it, we're in bed, and I think I'm looking for Mr. Goodbar, and I don't know why I'm even here. And I said, you know, that's awesome. Could you pass the salt? Okay. So it was like hysterically crying the whole time. I was so hungry. So I'm going, you know, I'm eating. Okay. And left. I had another situation where I was living under the same roof as my ex, and I, you know, I was sort of, I was internet dating, and I said to this woman, I said, here's the bad news. I said, I'm living under the same roof as my ex. I'm not divorced. I'm temporarily out of work, and I smoke cigarettes. And she says, oh, those are all really good things. I'm going, great. You still want to meet? Yeah, I definitely want to meet. And I said, okay, so where do you want to meet me? So she says, I'll meet you at a, just come pick me up. And I'm godly. I thought that was really weird. So I pick her up, and she's in some crappy little apartment in West L.A., and I'm going, okay, so we go to a bar, start drinking, which I don't really drink. So I'm now getting lit up because I haven't eaten. And before I know, we're at another bar and we're eating. And it's now like it's 12:30. You know what? I got to go. Okay, I can't do this. So I take her home, and I'm thinking, okay, bye. She says, would you like to come up? And I'm going, sure. And at this point in time, I don't really drink, and I'm just like, whatever. And I get up there, and she puts on the song Bread, I'm Gonna Make It With You. And before I know it, I'm in bed with her, it's over. We have to have intimacy. The next day, I'm just texting her, hey, are you okay? Are you feeling okay? I know it was a little crazy. She gets on the phone and starts screaming at me that I'm out of my mind, and I can't believe what I did. And don't ever call me again. And you're crazy. And you know. And you just get these crazy people. And of course, you just start deleting. You just delete everyone. But there are a number of whack jobs floating around all over the place. And you sort of can now. It's like there's definitely signs of it. Yep.
That actually brings, that might be a great new website, whackjob.com or something, where you can actually date other wackos.
Yeah, they're all
like whack a whack-a-mole, yeah. Data whack.
Wow. Okay, that's good stories there. Wow.
Oh, there's more, but I mean, those are the two that are just to give you an abbreviated version. Those are the two that are.
And how long are you still seeing her?
Am I still single?
Seeing her. No. Okay.
No.
Are you single? Are you dating right now?
Yes.
And did this change your way? I don't know. How long have you been? Are you long time single? Or are you just getting it?
Been divorced. I separated for 2 years. Met a girl on Match.com. We were a girlfriend and boyfriend for like 20 months. And she broke up with me in August. Blindsided me. And I deserved to be broken up with anyway. I deserved it. I melted down. At some point, we can talk about what all that means. And when I was broken up with, we go to dinner, and she pulls out a typed out list, and she starts going through this list of all the things I didn't do and why she's breaking up with me. She had a list, typed out list with annotated notes in front of it, and which I thought was pretty interesting. And then the next 6 months was serious drama, major.
Well, let's ask Dr. Archer, somebody who says that I deserve to be broken up with. What do you say about that? What can we do for Reese here?
Sounds like Reese knows himself pretty well. So, when you say what can be done, it really depends on what he wants with his life. So we shouldn't pass the judgment, and Reese, you can tell us, but Do you want to be single right now? It sounds like you do.
No. I was madly in love with this woman. I didn't realize it until it was a day late, a dollar short. I was too late. And the answer is 100% no.
You want to be in a relationship to that?
Of course. I mean, because I was in love with this woman, and I really had a loveless marriage, and then all of a sudden you become addicted to the feeling of what love is and, you know, what it means and what that. It's a very, very powerful emotion, love. And when you have it and it's gone, it's almost like a withdrawal of a drug.
So you would want to be in a relationship right now, and you're not. What is your biggest issue that is preventing that from taking place? Your issue. What is it with you?
I think, I'm 60-something, so I'm at a different age bracket. I'm going to be really clear about that. There's nothing that's preventing me other than, when you're meeting women and your boy being fixed up, or you're meeting women from online dating, I mean, there's just a certain number of boxes that have to be checked for each different person. And the most important thing that has to happen from day one is you have to have that chemistry and sexual tension. And if you don't
we know all of that. But if you were analyzing yourself, what is your biggest issue that would prevent you from being in a relationship?
I think I'm so gun-shy now that for me to become vulnerable again, it would take a lot now for me to really, go all in with someone and be vulnerable based upon what happened to me last year.
Sounds like a couple of drinks would help, but
maybe you should start drinking. I think we're starting to wind it down, but I want some tips from everybody. I want everybody to chime in, Dr. Archer and Reese and Robbie and me, to give your tips or your red flags. So go ahead, Dr. Archer, what would be give us a tip or two on the situation?
Yeah, I've said it a couple of times, but I think it's worth repeating, is that going through a chaotic, drama-filled relationship with a quote-unquote crazy person is a normal part of life that most people will do at least once as they grow up. So the important thing is what you do with it and what you learn from it. So it's not that it should never happen to you. It's probably good that it does happen to most of us so that we can take away the fact that we would never get in that situation again. So as long as you look at it as a learning experience, then most people are going to turn out just fine.
Okay. Robbie, tips? Any tips? Red flags?
I would say to recognize crazy early, if you can, and when you are encountering it in a mate that you are recently seeing or just dating, question it, and don't be afraid to confront it and run and get out if you can. That's my tip.
Reese, advice to your fellow daters.
What the doctor said was 100% right. I think that the tip of the day is you really just need to really know who you are, what you want, and be able to understand and acknowledge and sort of see the writing on the wall. I mean, there's just certain women, there's just certain red flags and things that people do that you just sort of scratch your head and go, WTF. And if you're saying that to yourself, run for the hills.
Okay, I would absolutely agree with that. My tips, red flags, and advice to my fellow daters, female and male, are here are things to look for. Infrequent or inconsistent communication. Okay? Inconsistent availability. And if you're getting mixed signals and mixed messages, you're dealing with, someone that could be just either fucking with your head or fucked up themselves, and be on the lookout. Okay.
So with that said, I want to thank Dr. Archer and Reese. Thanks for calling in. Dr. Archer can be reached where?
Dr. Archer, where can we reach you? Where can people reach you?
My website, drdalearcher.com.
That's easy. All right.
Do you have anything for next week, honey?
Next week is the Fear episode with Gay and Katie Hendricks.
Wow. Wow, that's a big get.
Okay. Everything you want is on the other side of fear.
Right.
Yes.
That's right.
Okay. That it was, we were, it was supposed to be a few weeks ago and it was not aired, but it is coming, and this is must hear radio, people, in light of what we were just talking about for the last hour. So next week, everything you want is on the other side of fear. Tune in. Be here.
Thank you again to our guest.
Thank you guys,
Dr. Archer,
so much.
Reese, thanks for calling in.
And we are done being single.
We are.
And hopefully you are too.
All right. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening this week to Done Being Single. Join Treva and Robbie Sharp every Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. See you next week on Done Being Single.